Good morning, everyone. It's been a while since we've been here, and we're thankful that the Lord has brought us back this way. We've known Brother Frank and several of you all for many years. Some of you have been to Dingus, and you realize that it's not an easy place to get to, but or when you get there, a place God has prepared. For our morning lesson this morning, open your Bible to the book of Psalm and find Psalm number 1. And here, this psalm sets forth a great contrast. It sets forth a great contrast between two groups of people, saved and unsaved, saints and sinners, sheep and goats. It sets forth a contrast. Two characters, the two characters and their condition. Those that serve God and those who serve Him not. What a contrast. What can be more different than these two classes of people? And this division has been from all time. This is not something that the Calvinists have set up and said, well, we're going to teach this and this. This is from all time. This is the greatest division that was ever made between the sons of Adam, saved and unsaved, the righteous and the unrighteous, the children of God and the children of the wicked. This is as ancient as the Scripture is itself. Ever since the struggle began between grace and works, there was a separation made, and God made the separation. It's not something we do. It's not something that we choose to do. It's God's work. He separates us. He calls us. He puts us into the family, and there we are. What the old song say? Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to Christ I cling. So this separation, this contrast that we're going to look at here, we'll find it starting in verse 1. The holiness and the happiness of a godly man. And then the second contrast we find in verse 4 and 5. The sinful and the misery of the wicked man. And then in verse 6 we find the ground and the reason for both. Let us go through it verse by verse here and see what God has taught us. Blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Men will puff themselves up and say, that's me. I don't do those things. But wait. But his delight is in the law of God. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters that bringeth forth his fruits in the season, and his leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed is the man. Happy. Happy is the man. Why? Why are some saved and others not? I don't know. That's God's business. He said, I chose you from before the foundation of the world, and I ordained you, and I sent you forth that you may bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. This is God's work. But it's only by His grace, by His mercy working within us. By nature, we are no different. By nature, we are all the children of wrath. But God. But God. Chose a people before the foundation of the world, and He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in time. In time, Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us. In time, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. See, this is God's purpose. This is God's working. And this is God's doing and not our own. Our Lord taught His disciples in Matthew chapter 5. He says, and seeing the multitude, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, He disciples came unto him. Can you imagine? The very Son of God, God in human flesh, sitting down amongst a bunch of sinful, wretched, vile creatures and teaching them as little children. That's the same thing he's doing today. He uses men to teach his gospel. He sends forth his pastors and his teachers to edify and uplift his sheep, to teach them, to comfort them, to uplift them, and to correct them. And this is what our Lord's doing here. And he says in verse 3, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed is he that mourneth, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. You see the shalls? You see how that our wants, our needs, our everything is supplied by God himself? You say, well, I want things I don't have. You have exactly what God has prepared for you. You have exactly what God has, from before the foundation of the world, ordained for you to have this very minute. You say, well, I've got troubles. That too is ordained of God, that he may wean us from the things of this world, that he may prepare us for the entering into eternal glory. He's separating us, calling us, and teaching us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The shalls of God's word. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are blessed of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Within ourselves, we cannot be happy. Within ourselves, there's fightings and there's rulings and this and that, but in Christ, we find everything that we need. Everything that we need to stand before God to hear him say, welcome in unto the joys of the Lord. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rulers over many. Happy is that man to enter into the very presence of God, knowing that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his own purpose, he saved us. It's not what I bring in my hand, but who I cling to by faith, who I look to by faith, and who I enjoy telling other people about. Paul describes our condition as he does all mankind in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, what about me? There's none righteous, no, not one. But look what I've done. There's none righteous, no, not one. Look what I give to the church, and look what I do for this and that. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. All of human nature. This is putting them all into one category here. But he'll separate them later. He'll separate them. They're all gone out of the way. Everyone. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then he brings it down to our particular case here. Their throat is an open sepulcher. We spew forth the blasphemy of God. With their tongues they've used deceit. And the poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitters. Well, now, wait a minute, you're not talking about me. Paul is describing every man by nature. Every one of us by nature is exactly the same. Our pastor, Brother Gary Vance, uses this illustration all the time. He says there's no difference by nature between the man of Charles Spurgeon, who was a mass murderer, and the man that was used of God. Sorry, Charles Manson. and Charles Spurgeon. There's no difference between them by nature. One God used greatly for the edifying of his gospel. The other, he allowed to do whatever he chose to do. He said, that's free will. No, it's not. Free will is not coming into contact here. Now, don't misunderstand me. These men, women, these terrorists, whatever, that they're going about to do what they desire to do in their own natural heart. Their mouth is full of cursing. Their feet is swift to shed blood. And you and I would do the same thing, except God, with straining grace, has laid hold of us and held us from doing it. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace they have not known. Why? Because there is no fear of God before their eyes. This tells us who we are and what we are by nature. So who can be a blessed man? Who can the psalmist be describing here? How is it possible that one such as this can be declared by God himself as a blessed man? Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is the man that trusteth him. Iniquity has gone forth out of her mouth. Sin, degradation, all manner of evil. We have it here, and it often comes out. And it would come out even more, except God restrains it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. This is the only way that you and I can be called a child of God. Our sins must be dealt with. Our sins must be covered. We must stand before God as perfect as God is himself. We must stand before him as holy as he is. He will not accept anything less than his perfect righteousness and his perfect holiness. And in order for you and I to stand before him, we must have this righteousness and we must have this holiness. So how is this obtained? Tell me, how can it be that God should love a soul like me? Only in Christ. It's simple, yet it's unthinkable. It's simple. Christ taking my place. Christ living and dying in my room instead. Christ coming unto the world and taking upon him my sin. And there living a perfect righteousness before God, there he goes to the cross. He goes to this old rugged cross that men hangs up and worships. Foolishness. Christ or the cross has already did what it was meant to do. Do away with the cross. Get it out of your synagogue. Get it out of your presence. Get it off from your neck. It's already done what it's been sent to do. Christ was crucified on that cross. That is a picture of suffering and shame. So therefore, it's accomplished. It's finished. It's been fulfilled. Take it away. Don't look to the cross. Look to the one who's on the cross. Lean on Christ. Look to him. See the greatness of his suffering. See the greatness of his death. And see the greatness of his satisfaction. Oh, the satisfaction of Christ. He suffered. He bled. And he died. In my room and in my street. He by himself purged my sin. My sin. The people say, oh, he purged the sin of the whole world. No, he didn't. He purged the sin of his people in the whole world. His blood for that case is limited. It's limited to those for whom he came to die for. He did not die for every man, woman, and child in the world. He died for a particular people. And he, by his grace, sent forth the gospel. And the gospel comes and rings in our ears and enters into our hearts, and we believe it. And God says, you're mine. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you unto myself. That gospel is what he used to draw us unto him. That gospel is what he uses to pierce our ears and to pierce our hearts and cause us to look to Christ by faith. That gospel is what he declares it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So the gospel comes and we believe. Well, how do I believe? I don't know. There was a time that I didn't believe, but now I do. What happened there? There was a change somewhere. There was something happened here somewhere that caused me to believe what I did not believe, caused me to love what I once hated, caused me to cling to that which I rejected. What happened? It has to be the grace of God. It has to be God working within us. It has to be the work that God has performed for us. He has put away my sin. He has put them away to the point that the all-seeing eye of God, when he looks at me, oh, I see sin in myself, and I'm sure you see sin in me. I see sin in my mind, in my thoughts, in my hands, in my heart. But when God sees me standing in the robes and righteousness of Christ, he sees me as perfect, holy, harmless, and undefiled with sin. That's the only thing that he can accept. That's the only people that he is able because of his holiness. This is the only way that we can approach him, is to be robed in the righteousness of Christ, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but being having the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. I have him. What's the old song say? I am his and he is mine. His forever, only his. Blessed is the man who can see Christ Jesus our Lord as our only hope for sinners. Blessed is that. Happy is that man. Blessed is the man who sees the Lord God satisfying his own law, satisfying his own justice. And then, working out a perfect righteousness and giving it unto me, a free gift. It's not something I earned. It's not something that I conjured up with my own hand. It's the free gift of God. God giving unto us a perfect righteousness, a perfect standing before God. Oh, no wonder the old songwriter said, how can that be? How can that be? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Not because he's above sin. We still have this thing of sin on us, about us. It afflicts us daily. We fight with it. We struggle with it. But it's still there. We attempt to push it down in one place and it rises up another. It's still there. It's not because we choose to turn aside from sin. If you choose to quit breathing, try. Hold your breath till you turn blue. You'll start breathing. It's the same thing as sin. Try to quit sin. Fight against it all you can. Our pastor says hand and foot. Fight against it with hand and foot. And see if it don't spring right back up. It's here. It's here. And it will be here until this flesh is taken off. And this new man that God has prepared for glory, comes forth. The old flesh is laid in the grave. The old flesh goes back to the dust of the earth. The new man that God has prepared rises to the very presence of God. And God says, welcome him. Welcome him. Welcome as my sons and daughters in Christ. You move on. Brother Spurgeon said, when men are living in sin, they go from bad to worse. First, they merely walk in the counsel of the careless and the ungodly. It's just natural to them. And they simply forget God. That's natural to them. Their evil walk is practical. That's natural. That's just what it is. Rather than habitual. It's not something I participate in every day, men say. But after that, they become habitual evil. And they stand in the way of open sin. Men does not start off bad and work himself up to good. Men do not start off as righteous and then because of something they do, they fall. That's foolishness. Men starts off as sin. When I came forth from the womb, I spoke lies. We start off in sin, and we progress downward all the days of our life, deeper and deeper and deeper in sin. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I've been washed in the blood of Christ. I've been sanctified by God the Father. You're still in this flesh. And this flesh gets worser and worser and worser every hour of every day. We may not see it. We may not see it. But the fact is, we're sinners. But God. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He no longer delights in sin, although sin is still here. This is not the tenor of our life. Sin is not something we go out looking for every day, although it affects us every moment of every hour. Sin is not something that I try to participate in, but I find myself entangled in it. But there's been a change in here. There's been a change in masters. The master that once ruled over me, this evil, ruled in my heart, has been ejected. He's been ejected. And now God has taken up abode in my heart. Now, although I fight against sin, although I struggle against sin, I have no sin. Do you understand this? He that is born of God sinneth not. How is that possible? It's because the new man that God has created within his people, every one of them. They all have the same new nature. Just as they all have the same old nature, everyone who looks to Christ by faith, clings to Christ for his only righteousness, has this new nature. Every one of them. And they war against sin. They war against sin, desiring to serve their God, but yet sin affects them. That's the warfare between the flesh and the spirit. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now listen to this list of people, list of things that he does here. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thief, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? Because we all must take our place and find ourselves in every one of these. And such were some of you. The children of God, such were some of you. But you're washed. You are washed. You are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. That's how we stand before God, being washed in the blood of Christ, sanctified and declared to be holy, and robed upon with the righteousness and the justification of God Himself. That's how God sees us. And Brother Don said, as God sees things, that's the way they really are. That's how God sees every one of his sheep. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by a river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice here your planting. Your planting. A tree is planted. Planted by the sweet rivers of pardon and mercy. It's not something that you're not a weed. You're not a flower. You're not a bush. You've been planted by the Lord, by God entering into your heart and establishing you as a new creation. You've been planted by the rivers of forgiving grace, by the precious promises of God, by the sweet river of the communion. This is what we have fellowship with, the communion with Jesus Christ our Lord. These rivers shall never run dry. I will be with thee always, even unto the end. They shall be fresh every day. And as God blesses his people, fruits will come. Fruits will come. Fruits will come. So we see in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, the holiness and the happiness of a godly man. Now look at verse 4 and 5. Ungodly or not so. What more needs to be said? But are like chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore shall the therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You take everything that the writer says here in verse 1, 2, and 3. And then he says, the ungodly are not so. They're not blessed of God. They don't have the righteousness of God. They don't have the forgiveness of God. He said, well, why not? Why can't all be saved? That's not the way God purposed things to be. I don't know who will be saved and who won't be saved. I don't know how a man or how you separate this man from that man. But God does. He does not leave it up to us to say this man and that man and this woman and this woman, this child and this child is God. God says, they're mine. And then he goes about working everything in this whole creation. Everything. Everything in this whole creation of all time. He worketh all things for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Every trial, every tribulation that we go through is for our good and for his glory. Every blessing that he gives unto us is for our good and for his glory. All things work together for our good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So we'll leave it with that. This is God's doing and not our own. We must all appear before the judgment seat of God, the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. He said, well, you're contradicting yourself. No, I'm not. Those that stand in Christ has already been judged. There will be a time that we appear before God and we will hear him say, welcome in. Welcome in. The unrighteous shall appear before God to hear him to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That's the great contrast that God himself provides for his people. They're a separated people. They're a loved people. They're elected people. And they are a chosen people. And all of this are the works of God and not our own. The third thing we need to see is verse 6. Here is the ground, the reason for both. For the Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the wicked shall perish. Why does God know the way of the righteous? Because he established them. He appointed that way. He directed that way. and he brought us that way. While the ungodly, if you allow me to use these words, he simply leaves them alone. He simply leaves them alone, right where they're at, doing exactly what they want to do, serving the God that they want to serve. He leaves them right where they're at. Oh, our prayer, don't leave us to ourselves, for surely we will go astray. As the brother prayed, leave us not unto ourselves, for we will choose the wrong way every time. Have the power, not potter over the cloth, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. He said, well, there's unrighteousness with God. That can't be. That shouldn't be. God should love everybody. It's a wonder God loved anybody. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of grace and of mercy that God should love anyone. And the only way that he can love anyone is for them to be found in Christ. In Christ. So that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God who showeth mercy. He numbered the hairs of our head. Listen to how he watches over his people. He numbers the hairs of our head, and he will not suffer any evil to befall us. He knows every hair of our head, and he knows exactly when one falls to the ground. Let us look to Christ. Let us follow him. And let us depend upon him. And the way we look to him, lean on him, and trust him, it's no more about him. More about him. Let us follow him all the days of our life. And let us look with expectation of him returning to gather us home, gather us into this family that he will one day take into the very heavens, and there we shall dwell forever. But while we're here, we struggle with this thing of sin. While we're here, we fight hand and foot, as our pastor said, against this thing of sin. But one day, we will be relieved of this thing of sin, and we will raise into the air to meet the Lord, ever be with him in the world. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee. We pray that you will take your word and apply it to our heart. Cause us to meditate on it down through the week. Cause us to look to Christ more often. Lean on him and depend upon him daily. Now be with us in our continuing service, that may we once again worship our God. Lead and guide us and direct us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.